Father, we lift up Shannon before you this morning as she speaks to us your words, as she speaks to us from your words, Lord. I pray that the Spirit would rain down upon her, Lord, as she talks to us this morning. I pray your blessing upon her and upon the word she has to say in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Whew. Lord, I just thank you that as Wendell has shared, spoken, and prayed, Lord, we want to receive the raining down of you, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you are within us, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That you've never left us or forsaken us, but Lord, we're asking to draw closer to you, to embrace you, to feel you raining down upon us. And as I share these words, Holy Spirit, I yield to you. Be the river of living water that floods us, feeds us, nurtures us. And may we draw ever closer to you. We ask this in your name again, Lord Jesus, the name above all names. And we thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, we are in a series on the Holy Spirit, one of the most controversial things that ever hit the church. In fact, it's what started the church. But it's one of the things that all the different households of the church struggle with. I shouldn't say struggle, but we just don't quite get it. But we could say there's struggles, there's outfighting, there's whatever. But it is the most important thing that the church has. Jesus said, I'm not leaving you as orphans. I'm sending the Holy Spirit. I'm sending the Holy Spirit. And so we've been studying the Holy Spirit for, well, this is actually the fourth week because part two had two parts. Part 2A and part 2B. And I'm going to be honest, I don't know when we're going to be done with the Holy Spirit. We never will be, really, but until the Lord, he's moving us on. So this morning, we're at part 3. I'm just going to do a quick, one of the things about the Holy Spirit is we have to understand that fellowship with the Holy Spirit is the key to walking the empowered Christian life. Without him, forget it. Because you're still trying to do things in your own strength, but how many of us know that as believers, sometimes we still are doing that? Trying to do, to be the good Christian, to do what the Lord says without the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? Hello, maybe I'm speaking to myself, and that's okay. No. So when we looked at what we've been looking at the Holy Spirit, we looked at, first of all, who is the Holy Spirit? That was our first. Then we've been doing the fellowship with the Holy Spirit and how to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. One, and we need to understand that the Holy Spirit desires fellowship with you. He's not some woo thing out there. Woo. He's the person of the Holy Spirit. What's his name? What's the first? He's got two names up there. What's the first part? Holy. Holy Spirit. You know, Rod shared with us this morning about sometimes there are things that we're participating in that we maybe shouldn't be as believers. And maybe we're not even around. If we're going into ministry, wherever you're called into ministry, I was hoping I could ask Alan because I didn't have permission, but this is one of those times. I'll ask him later if it was okay. I'm sure it was. God gave him, I shared with him something that just was profound. We are the temple of... And remember the day that Jesus walked into the temple, made a whip, started turning the tables? What was he doing? Was it an act of anger and violence? Love. It was cleansing the temple. It was an act of love. What was going on there was preventing the move of God because they were focused on their ideals and how they were, you know, the, well, corrupt things, greed stuff. And isn't it wonderful to know this about our Lord? That he can come into this temple and get rid of those things for us. Cleanse the temple by Jesus. You know, there are things that we, how many of us know about muscle memory? Ever been out somewhere and all of a sudden you're parked in front of your house and you don't remember the drive home? That's muscle memory. You just did it. And sometimes we still have muscle memory from things of the past and things we've been doing, and the Spirit is coming in to clean it out. And sometimes we think, oh, that sounds terrible. He's going to whip us. No, no, no. We're going to feel the freedom of things getting lifted out of us and off of us and ideas. He's so loving. And as those things leave and we just, you know, have you ever said, Lord, what's blocking me? You know, and he can come in and he'll show you the route. He's the one who works at taking it out. How many of you worked really hard at getting saved? So how many work really hard at cleansing yourself out? Well, you can't. It's a work of the Holy Spirit, but it's also us to say, it's okay, Holy Spirit. Anyhow, I'm getting ahead of myself and off track, and I do need to get back to my notes. Otherwise, you will be here till midnight. Pray for the strength of them, Lord. No. Okay, so I have something I want you to do this morning. I'm going to ask you some questions, and I want you to respond in a declaration. So I want you to speak out loud, and I'm not going to ask you to say something strange or weird, so don't worry about that. So here's an example. If I said to you, do you love Jesus? Your response would be, if you agree with this, yes, I love Jesus. You're declaring that, right? And so let's start with that. Let's do a little practice run. Do you love Jesus?
Yes, I love Jesus.
Is Jesus the Messiah? Is Jesus Lord?
Yes, Jesus is Lord.
Do you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead?
Yes, I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I know, that was a long sentence. You did good. You did good. Well, here's what Romans 10:9 says. If you declare with your mouth and that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart, that's the faith element, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Okay, so here's the truth. You have your salvation in Jesus. He saved you. He's your Savior. You are his. You are saved. You are redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord
say so.
Are you redeemed?
Yes, I am redeemed.
You've been ransomed out of bondage and the darkness, and you've been brought into the kingdom of his light and his life. You are his. And we know when we look in Scripture, we see that the Father initiated, but it was the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead. And then we're told that same Spirit dwells in us.
Amen,
amen and amen. So as we're continuing on with our series here. Oh, sorry. I'm going to just, this was last time, how to have fellowship. But you guys can go back and listen to that if you need to. We're moving on. Part 3, hearing the Holy Spirit. Hearing the Holy Spirit. In John 10, let's see, I think I have that one there. John 10:27, this is the Amplified Version. My sheep, the sheep that are mine, are my own, hear my voice and listen to me. I know them and they follow me. You know what? We hear that scripture, and I'm going to say there's some of us here that say, I don't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. I hear people talking about it, but I don't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. That was me at one time. How do people hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? And the enemy will take this scripture here, and he likes to mess with your thinking. I can't hear the Holy Spirit. Oh, you can't hear the Holy Spirit. I must not be a sheep. I must do this. I must something. That's the enemy. That's the enemy coming after you. And I'm going to put this in some context for you, this scripture here. So in John 10, starting at verse 22, It says, then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. And it was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there, gathered there around him, saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Messiah, tell us plainly. Okay, so let's stop and think about this. Where is Jesus? He's in the temple. Who do you think the people are gathering around him besides the fact that they're Jews? Probably Pharisees and teachers. They're in the temple there. And what is it that they're asking him? Are you the Messiah? Don't keep us in suspense. Tell us plainly. This is you. Tell us. And then Jesus does this. And Jesus answered them, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them from my hands. Just hold on to that. That's a glorious promise. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all. So just go ahead and try and snatch. It's like, you know, the great big football player. You're trying to get something from him. Got the ball under his arm, just push you out of the way, right? Our God is big. Greater than all. And no one will snatch them out of my Father's hands. Do you feel a little more secure today? I'm going to say, I and my Father are one. Okay. Now let's start putting some things together here a little bit. But understanding, do you hear the Holy Spirit? Did you declare that Jesus is Messiah? That he's Lord? And that God raised him from the dead? Jesus said this, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they know me. They follow me. The fact is you being able to confess and say and know that Jesus is Messiah and that he was raised from the dead is telling you that you hear the Holy Spirit. Do you remember Peter and the other disciples when Jesus asked them, who does everybody say I am? And who do you say I am? And Peter stands up and I don't know if he stood up. It doesn't say he stood up. He just said he confessed, you're the Messiah. And Jesus responded to him, you don't know this because of your own self. No man taught you this. This is the work of the Father. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to come back to this. Is Jesus the Messiah? Is he your Lord?
Yes.
That is the work of the Holy Spirit. You understand that because you've heard the Holy Spirit. So you know something, if that's your confession, you know the Holy Spirit's voice. In John 16:15, Jesus says, all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why, I guess I can put that scripture up there. That is why I say that the Holy Spirit will receive from me what I, from me and what he will make known to you. He will. Let's read that better. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I say the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. You hear the Holy Spirit's voice. Now again, the enemy wants you to think that you can't hear him. And he'll say, because you say you don't hear him, you must not be a sheep, or you're a little bad sheep, or whatever. He likes to mess. Here's my question. Do you desire to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? You know, Jesus said, seek, ask, and knock, and the door will be open. And so we ask, then we ask, okay, this is what the Lord promises. And when the enemy comes along and wants to tell you, well, you can't hear. Yeah, see, you can't hear. If you really were a sheep, you'd be able to hear. What you did this morning, do it again. I declare that Jesus is Lord. I declare he is the Messiah. I declare that God raised him from the dead. And as we start standing on the word of God and reminding not only ourselves, the enemy doesn't like to hear you say that. He's going to flee. Resist the enemy and he will flee. And the Lord, who is faithful, again, will draw you into a place where you hear him clearly. So why is it so hard to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit at times? Not tune in. It's because we're really distracted by the things of the world. The world around us seems like it is yelling at us at the top of its lungs, and it is really hard to hear over all the noise. If you watch the local news, if you watch the world news, oh my gosh. If you're scrolling at night to YouTube and the internet, ooh. We've got family issues. We've got financial problems. We've got health problems. If you have a business, sometimes there's business, there's all kinds of things. Maybe we're ambitious about getting something done and we're focused there. And on there's all the responsibilities of life and the noise and the clutter. List gets longer and longer and it overwhelms our thoughts. And you know what? Almost all of it, in fact, I'm going to say all of it is based in fear. And the greatest fear of all of it is the fear of man. What will happen to? What will so-and-so say? What will this one think? What will... on and on, the what ifs and the, and we get so caught up. And remember back when I talked about, but what about God? What if we took the what if and said, but God? And we got caught up in all of this stuff. Our thoughts are cluttered. I'm living in the middle of a bit of a renovation. I think I've shared that with you. So there's clutter everywhere. Because you move this over here and you got boxes and whatever. People, you know, ugh. You can't turn around without bumping into this. And where did I put that? And la, la, la. Clutter. And it gets frustrating. And when it comes to hearing the Holy Spirit, the world is so loud and so shouting that you maybe have done this. Said, Holy Spirit, could you shout what you want me to do? Get the megaphone out. Tell me what you want to do. I can't hear you. I'll do whatever you show me and tell me. Just tell me. Make it loud so I don't miss it. Shout at me. In fact, it's like, Lord, give me a Saul on the Damascus Road experience so I can know what you want me to do. And if you don't know the story, I'll let you go find that out. Do you know that we have such a wonderful experience in God, such a wonderful thing about Holy Spirit, and that is that he doesn't push you into anything. It's not what he does. You know what he does? Holds out his hand and says, take my hand, I'll lead you. I'll lead you. I heard it put this way, he's a gentle persuader. It made me think of a picture. I don't have it. I was going to, at least I don't think I have it. Let me go quickly. Nope. I was going to put it up there and thought, no, I won't. There's a picture. The name of the picture is Gentle Pleader. It's an old Victorian picture. It's a picture of a little girl standing in the corner, obviously a bit naughty, and standing in the corner with a dolly. And her collie is standing there looking at her and looking back at whoever has said for her to go stand in the corner, pleading, So it's called The Gentle Pleader. And I looked at that when I read he's a gentle persuader, and I thought, that's what the Holy Spirit is like. And Holy Spirit, forgive me if that's too simple. He's like that collie who will guide you and lead you and redirect you gently. Ever seen a dog herd a kid? You know, kids are out running around, they kind of come around and herd them back to where they're, you know, keep them away, keep them safe, and persuades them to go where they need to go. That's Holy Spirit for us. He leads us gently, persuades us, helps you remind you who you are in Jesus, what Jesus has done. He reminds you there's a miraculous transformation happening, that you are becoming Christ-like, that you are the beloved child of God. So how do we go about lowering the volume on the world? Because, let's face it, it's loud out there and becoming louder. The first is being thankful. You know, we can get caught up in not being thankful. We can hear, well, the groceries are too high, the prices. Yeah, they are. Gas prices are too much. Do you know what they're doing to our power bills? And I have a whole situation in my neighborhood happening, and it's, you know, and we get to a place where we are not thankful. We're absorbed into the things of the world. Do you know what? If you have some groceries in your fridge, be thankful. If you're able to drive your vehicle to church or walk here or even somebody give you a ride here, be thankful. How many are sitting in a lovely, comfortable seat right now? How many feel warm? How many looked out the window this morning and went, wow, is it ever gorgeous out there? How many took a minute and stopped and said, thank you, Lord, for my salvation? I can't believe what you've done for me. A thankful heart starts turning down the volume of the world. Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. Listen to this. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Are you a generation? Do you have children? Do you have grandchildren? Do you have great-grandchildren? Do you have nieces and nephews? And on, he's going to be faithful through all generations. Let's be thankful. I know right now there are things happening in my family that make me concerned. But my God is faithful through all generations. I can turn it over to the Lord. He knows how to reach them. He knows how to break through the stuff. I'm impatient. I want it now. But he knows how to do it. The gentle persuader. The Holy Spirit's been poured out on all flesh. You were a part of the unbelievers at one time and now are a part of the believers. How did the Holy Spirit do that? But he did it. And he will do it with them as well. And we can just be thankful, Father. I'll enter your courts with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter your courts with praise. I will sing, this is the that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad. You find yourself getting caught up in the concerns and the worries of the world. Don't let the enemy make you put a righteous spin on it. Dump it in the trash and enter his courts with thanksgiving. Look what the Lord has done. Did he say in his word, my children will not beg bread? He did. Does it say in his word, healing is my children's bread? Healing? See, that he is faithful to those things. And we're sitting here going, but God, I'm not seeing it. But are you thankful? And I'm pretty sure you are. But sometimes we need to be reminded, hey, wait a minute, I'm caught up over here when I need to be rejoicing in the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for it is the will of God in Christ for you. Anybody prayed, I want to know the will of God? This is the will of God for you. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. How do I pray without ceasing? Well, you know what? Just constant conversation with God saying, thank you, Lord. What a beautiful prayer. That's the will of God for you, for us. Hey, Shannon, listen up. There's a preaching coming on that you need to hear. Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Doesn't matter how much this world gets shaken up, our kingdom of our God cannot be shaken. So we got to be thankful. Or we should be. No, well, I choose to be. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious or troubled with cares or worried or anxiety, filled with anxiety about anything. Yeah, but God, ooh. No, God says, but in every situation, by prayer, conversation with God, and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Thankfulness and gratitude are the steps. One of the steps we take to turn down the volume in the world, of the world. You know, years ago when I was working for a school district in St. Albert, a long time ago, a colleague shared a poem with us. I worked for a school district, so she was a wonderful teacher. And she shared this poem, and I think I've talked about it before. And the poem describes Italy, a trip to Italy, where they'd see the vineyards and the warm rolling hills and the canals of Venice and the lovely wine country and all that was a part of going to Italy and tasting the food there. But the plane lands in Holland and disappointment hits because it's not Italy. And the whole point of the poem is, if you're not going to stop and look at where you are, or if you're always dreaming about something else, you're going to miss it. You see, if you land in Holland, there's some beautiful things to see there. There's the tulips and the windmills. There's the canals there and the cobble streets. They may not be the ones of Venice or like Rome, but again, if you're living in the disappointment and waiting for something to happen, you're going to miss what's right there in front of you. You see, believers, we often put off the joy that we're expecting from something else instead of enjoying what's with us right now. We keep looking to the future. When this finally happens, when I finally get that best job, you remember when that was one of your thinking? And I know I'm talking to a lot of retired people here. That's when I met the right person to get married to. When I have kids then, when I get the right degree, when I'm debt free, when I can finally retire. Well, we know what happens when we finally retire, then we swap over some of those, and this can happen earlier, where, you know, then we're into hip replacements, back pain, our glasses, false teeth. When I get this taken care of, then I... When I'm no longer sick, then I. When I'm not in pain, then I. And when we get caught up in looking at everything to the future, we're not hearing Holy Spirit because our mind is full of when this happens then. And we're missing Holland looking for Italy. And we need to be grateful and thankful for the moment we're in. As Christians, as believers in Christ, this is the will of God for us. Why? Because it turns down the volume on the world when we start practicing and walking in thankfulness and gratefulness. Moving on here. Forgiving others. Now, I know this summer both Crystal and Rod shared about forgiving others, but I'm going to continue on in just a bit. Oops. Sorry. Mark 11:25. When you stand and pray, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Now, that doesn't mean he hasn't. You have been redeemed by Christ, but the flow, you will not receive his forgiveness if you're holding forgiveness against something else. It blocks the divine flow of God in your life. Heavenly Father may forgive you as you forgive the sins of somebody else. I think I'm repeating myself right here, so I'm not going to go there. You know, as believers, you're justified. That's your legal position. That's what Jesus did to you, for you. All the penalties have been paid by Jesus, but if you want to experience the joy and the benefits and the divine favor flowing through you and experience the divine forgiveness he has for you, you need to forgive others. You need to lay it down. Unforgiveness disrupts your connection with God. And why don't you think of yourselves as a parent, and I know not everybody's here as a parent, and your kids get into a squabble, and they have unforgiveness towards each other, and then they come to you, and they want you to side with them. Ever had that happen? Well, they did this, and no, it's not my fault, it's whatever, and there's a squabble going on. And it gets some resolution. But then one of them comes and sits and talks to you, and they're having a conversation, but their thoughts are full of their anger at their sibling, and so something stirs it up, and then they start talking about, and what happens to the connection that you had with them for that moment? It gets disrupted, and it's back to that. And it's the same with our Heavenly Father. He's there wanting to hear us. The Holy Spirit is there wanting to talk to us. But if we're caught up with these things, this unforgiveness, though we legally are justified, our hearts aren't letting us be there. Our hearts aren't letting us experience it. We're experiencing the yucky. I am going to share a story. So this week I've had an experience in our neighborhood with something. I'm not going to get into all the details because it just makes me feel yucky. And I'm driving out to pick up a friend and go to Edmonton on Friday. And I'm playing it over in my head. And I'm right and I'm justified and feeling this anger towards them. And the light comes on the tire, on one of the tires, saying I have a low tire. I'm sure that person did it. And I realized, boy, the enemy's got you here. You're letting him take you in a place to, why would, and I mean, if you knew the whole situation, possibly, but it doesn't matter. I'm halfway to Wetaskiwin and when it happens, how did that person have anything to do? Anyhow, like I said, I don't want to get it. But what I'm trying to point out is where my heart was. I had almost 20 minutes of a drive, or maybe 10 minutes, 15. I could have been talking to the Lord, praising God, and having a good time, and having my heart lifted high, and just thanking the Lord for the good things that I had. But no, I chose to let my thoughts be. And not offer forgiveness to a situation. I'm being honest here. to a point where, well, truth is that it happened the night before, that I had spent the night going to bed going over it and got up in the morning going over it and got halfway to a task when going over it, when I finally stopped and said, this feels yucky. I don't like this feeling. But you know, sometimes we get justified in our feeling. I am the right to feel this yucky because they're wrong. And we hold on to it because I have the right to feel yucky. And we get to a pattern, a place where yucky is all we know. And it's uncomfortable to know anything else because we're so familiar with yucky. And we let our mind be cluttered with the yucky, and we can't hear Papa, who's right there, not only wanting to forgive whoever might be offending us and forgiving us for being so trapped in the yucky. You see, unforgiveness does something. It hardens your heart. It clutters your mind. That person becomes difficult to deal with, easily offended. They're constantly seeing everything through offense. Everything is an attack against me. And they live in a combative way. That's an unforgiving heart. And I want to challenge you on something. It is not always the person that's rah, rah, rah. The person who lives with a victim mentality is of the same. Because that's still a heart of unforgiveness. You're difficult to deal with, easily offended. Everybody's out to get me. And you feel everything through glasses of offense. And it drowns out the ability to hear Holy Spirit. And it becomes difficult to discern. Ephesians 4. Do I have Ephesians? I'll move on there. No. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other just as Christ God forgave you. That's hard to accept sometimes when we want to. Because you know what? We live in a world that talks about seeking revenge, getting even, not letting go of things. Because again, we feel justified in our unforgiveness. And then I'll just bring you back to Matthew 18, 21 to 35. It talks about the unforgiving servant. You know, if you take that little list that I read about hard-heartedness and offenses and whatever, and you put it to that story of the unforgiving servant, you can see him right there. You can see all the traits right there. I want you to think about Jesus hanging on the cross. And he looks down and he says, Father, forgive them. But hold it over their heads for the rest of their lives. How many of you are comfortable with that? That's not what he said. We know that. But that's what we do. I may have forgiven them, but I am not going to forget. And I'm going to hold it over their head the rest of their lives. And yet Jesus said, forgive them. They know not what they do. They don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. Psalm 103:10. Oh boy, I tell you what, if you have nothing you can think of to be grateful for, here's a verse. Psalm 103, verse 10. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Woohoo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. See, I know what I was thinking and how yucky that felt. And that's just one time on a Saturday or Friday morning. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He's washed me clean, and His Holy Spirit got through to me. And that's a wonderful thing about the Spirit. Gentle persuader, came along and said, Shannon, what are you doing? Where are you going? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You see, because it's the joy of the Lord that's our strength. It's the peace of Jesus that we have, the Prince of Peace, not the yucky of the world of unforgiveness and not letting go and holding things overhead and looking suspiciously at everything. No. And here's 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. People, we have it good. We have it so good. And when we let go of unforgiveness, oh my goodness. And sometimes we have to say, Lord, I don't even know how. But if you're willing, he is able. He'll come in. He'll be like Jesus with the whip, taking out what doesn't need to be there. His work, not yours. His way of doing things. Let's move on. Be silent and be still. In Matthew 6:6, Jesus says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Sorry, I just have to grab a Kleenex. He'll reward you. Lord, I don't have time to get away. I don't have time. Things, do you not know what's going on in the world? And Jesus tells you, listen, you need to make time. Because when we don't make time, the clutter and the chaos of the world's going to come in and overwhelm you, and you're going to be in situations where you just don't know how to deal with it. And you're going to get so lost trying to spin plates. Have you ever seen a plate spinners, you know? You're so busy trying to spin plates and keep everything going that they all come crashing down. But if you'll take time to be silent, put away all the outer distractions, sit down, shut off the cell phone, turn off the TV, shut off all your entertainment, shut down the social media. Put away, be still. Be silent, put away the outer distractions. And then Psalm 46:10 there says, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes, again, we're still trying to do what only he can do. And as we quiet ourselves, how do we quiet? How do we be still? Sometimes it takes us just sitting down and reading the word. Sometimes I have to put on a worship song. Or maybe you don't have to put on a worship song. You just have to tell God back to him. God, you're Lord Almighty. Jesus, you're my Messiah. You care for me. I'm your sheep. I'm your child. You are the great I am. And again, as we turn down the volume on the world and turn up the volume to hear him, we will hear Holy Spirit. And being silent and still. For those who say, I don't have that time, I don't have that luxury, yes, you do, and the Lord will make a way for you. And sometimes it's about the choices we make. If all you can do is pull a chair out, I'm going to just say in the middle of your yard or in the middle of your kitchen, and just sit, then do that. Take the time. God says, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. He's just waiting for the invitation. And moving to the last tier, number 4, trust God to speak to you. And don't get all caught up, oh, I'm going to miss God's will, I'm going to do this. God wants to speak to you. He is able. He is God. And we've already shared this scripture. Oops, sorry. Let me go back here. From John 16, 15. I keep forgetting I didn't put them all up today. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me and what he will make will receive from me what he will make known to you. God's not holding things back. He's not trying to keep things from you. My sheep know my voice. They hear me and listen to me. I know them and they will follow me. Jeremiah 29, 12, 13. Then when you call upon my name and go and pray to me, I'll listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. When you put away the clutter and seek him, Lord, this is what I want. I don't know how to do it. I don't get how to do it. I don't know how to make the world quiet. I don't know how to make my world life quiet. I can't seem to hear you. I want you to yell at me and tell me in a very loud voice, but I desire you, God. And I'm taking this time. I'm sitting down right now. And guess what'll happen? He'll come and he'll speak to you. You'll start hearing him in the grocery store. You'll start hearing him. Moms know this, in the bathroom when the door is locked. You'll start hearing him when you go to bed. And you'll start hearing him even when you're watching TV. You'll start hearing him as you read the word, as you do a daily devotion through some wonderful little book like the Daily Bread. You'll start hearing him in the songs you listen to. But one of the most wonderful things is when you get alone with him and he speaks to you one-on-one. He's not holding back. You hear the voice of God. You hear Holy Spirit. So don't lose heart. Trust he is speaking to you. Sometimes you'll say, is that you, God? I don't know if that's you. Take a step of faith that you heard. And the gentle persuader, he'll guide you back. He'll help you. Be bold in the Lord. Step out. Step out. God knows what you're going through, and he knows how to get through to you. So you need to trust. Don't let the enemy say, well, you haven't read the whole Bible through in a year. You haven't spent 72 hours in prayer and fasting. If God gets you there, fabulous. But don't let the fact that he'll get you there. Don't let the enemy say, because you're not there, you can't hear the Holy Spirit. It's a lie. You know, I'm just going to share, there's a couple of scriptures in Acts where we hear, well, first of all, we hear how Paul, on the road to Damascus, hears the Holy Spirit. But there's another man, Ananias, who heard the Holy Spirit. He didn't have to have a Damascus road of spirit to hear, go pray for Paul. Well, at that time, Saul, who was killing Christians. And obedience went to a man who was killing Christians and shared the good news. He saw him healed. Then we think of Peter. You know, Peter has this crazy vision. He sees the sheet drop down out of heaven a couple of times. Three times, I think it was. Go back up into heaven and all this. And it says, well, Peter is sitting there thinking, what is that all about? And the Lord said, don't say something as unclean that I've cleaned. And he says he's sitting there on the bed. He doesn't know what it's about. Peter. Peter walked with Jesus. Peter's full of the Holy Spirit. Peter's been boldly pronouncing, declaring the gospel of Jesus. Peter's sitting there going, what is that all about? And the Holy Spirit says, hey, there's three men going to be knocking on the door. And before he's even off the bed, knock, knock, knock. So sometimes what I'm trying to say is sometimes we have things we don't know exactly what it's all about, but the Lord will bring the people to explain, to help bring understanding. The Lord knows how to reach you. Holy Spirit knows how to speak to you. You have a dream or a vision you're not sure about, you can't seem to figure it out, take it, put it on a shelf. The Lord will bring it around to you when it's time. And then you go, oh, Lord. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. For time's sake, I'm going to wrap it up there. But I want you to know Holy Spirit is speaking to you, his children, speaking to you, the sheep of Jesus, speaking to you, child of God. And you need to trust that the gentle persuader knows how to reach you. Amen. Then you will call upon my name and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek my face and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29, 12 to 13. I already shared that with you this morning. Why don't you stand with me? You've been sitting for a while. And those of us that were at the comic listening to him last night for Pregnancy Health Care Center, and get your wiggles out. Get your wiggles out. Father, as we come before you again this morning, and thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence, for how you move in our hearts. We thank you that you hear us, and Lord, we know that you will help us, guide us where we're struggling, to turn down the volume of the world and help hear what you have to say for us. Thank you, Father, in any of these areas where we might say, I don't know how to do that, you're there. You're not saying we have to do it. You're saying, I'm going to do it in you. Thank you, Lord, as we yield and surrender to you, Holy Spirit. You will bring it about. Thank you, Lord God. So as we go from this place, we just give you honor, glory, and praise. Bless each and every heart that is here this morning and those that are listening online. Praise you, Lord. And I'm just going to say thank you, Lord, again. God bless you guys. Amen and amen. Let's go in the power of the Holy Spirit.